Howdy, crew, and welcome to the Profundity Podcast, a podcast hosted by me, Andrew Ripple, a human who says words and has no idea what variations on that introductory thematics have been said previous to this moment. And it's also, this is a fun thing, I'm home for the week, and that's really exciting. I'm sorry there wasn't an episode last week. There was one. I didn't like it, though. I thought it was bad. Yes, that's how it turned out. I didn't think it was good, which is going to be surprising, because I'm going to do the same topic over this week again, and then you'll be, if you know me as a person, you'll be amazed and surprised that I did a bad version of talking about this thing, because it's like, this is kind of the thing that you talk about more than anything. So, there's that. But here's what's happening. Here's what's happening, folks. What is happening is that, actually, what's going to happen at this particular junction is that I'm going to deal with the fact that there's a lot of noise right there. So I'm going to move, and I'm going to be on the move while I'm moving because, hey, guess what? This is a fun little detail. I don't have my microphone stand with me, nor do I have my fancy pants pop type filter thingamajigger. No. What I have is my microphone, and I have my computer, and I have a sock, which is which is being used as the makeshift pop filter. And that's about it. So I'm holding the microphone. Which is fascinating. But, okay. Here I am. Okay, I've settled. That was a lovely little theater of the mind moment, wasn't it? You got to go on a journey with me. It's like the old days, the old version of the podcast that I used to do, where I would move around while I was doing it. I would do it while I was talking, and then because I'd walk really, really... No, of course I would do it while I was talking. That's the whole point. I would do it while I was walking. Well, I was walking around campus because I didn't want to do it in my room. And I would do that, and it sounded terrible, and I would run out of breath because I walk really fast. And I'm also just a generally unathletic person. And that's the life that would happen. That's how things would go. I can already tell that what's going to occur over the course of me this next half hour is that I'm going to accidentally move the microphone too close to my mouth or too far away from it. And we're going to struggle. Ooh, you know what I could do? More theater of the mind. We're going to walk a little bit more. And then I'm going to figure out how to carry this into the room whilst also holding on one hand the microphone and another hand the computer and a third hand this microphone stand that I see outside of the room where I'm in. Oh, and I'm going to get my cable. Okay, see, first time that I walked there, I got my microphone cable hooked on the microphone stand. Then the second time, I got my headphone cable. And it was a fun time had by all. All right. Yeah. See, professional podcasting, ladies and gentlemen. This is what we do. This is how we go. This is experimental theater. This is experimental theatric podcasting. This is performance art in that we're going to see, are people interested in listening to the types of shenaniganery that occurs? Okay, now we're going to actually have to pause for a second because I have to, like, screw on the microphone. Oh my god, that's literally the worst noise I've ever heard in my entire life. Ugh. Ugh, gross, gross. I hate everything and everyone. All right. It's not very well secured, but, like, that's as much of that nonsense noise that I'm going to subject y'all to. That's not entirely true, because we're going to do this. Moving it so that it's by my mouth. There we go. What she said? I don't know. He said? Anyone could have said it. Hi, kids. If there was any level of professionality to this, then we would have undone that entire 4 minutes. Wow, that was only 4 minutes. Yikes-a-reno. Okay, well, whatever. This is a life that we've chosen to lead, ladies and gentlemen. I'm far away from my phone. Oh, look, my smartwatch thingamajig is out of range from my phone because my phone is still upstairs where I started the recording. Welp, we are just going to have to live in this life without connection to our technology. And by without connection to our technology, I mean I still have a smartwatch on that is just not connected to anything. And I also have my computer here. So yay, cool, fun. Here we fucking are, kids. Oh. Sorry I went without a week without it. But again, I didn't like that episode that I recorded. it was just not good. It was just not good. It was low energy. It didn't cover any, I mean, it covered the topic, but it covered the topic poorly. And just, it was whatever, man. It was just whatever. And it's gross. It's bad. Heavy sigh. Hey, when I release this, it's still a day or two into the Max Fun Drive, which I'm going to talk about. Why not? Because, hey, so there's this podcast network called Maximum Fun, which I really enjoy, and I actually came very close to applying to intern there, but the one summer that, there was a summer that I was able to apply for it, but I wouldn't have been able to, like, afford to live in California for an unpaid internship during the time, so I didn't do it. Instead, did work close at home. Then the next summer, I was like, sure, you know what, I think I'll totally do it. And then they canceled their internship program, but replaced it with a fellowship, but the fellowship is a year-long thing, so I wasn't able to do it, and blah, blah, blah. Anyway, it is a podcast network that is started by Jesse Thorne, who hosts, currently hosts the podcasts, Jordan Jesse Go, excuse moi, podcast Jordan Jesse Go, and Bullseye. Bullseye, which is also an NPR show, and he is actually from the same area, Bay Area type place that I'm going to school in, but I'm not at right the moment because I'm home in Seattle, I'm not at school, everything is great, everything is wonderful because it means I'm not at school, and that just means that the world is better because everything about school is garbage always. It's a podcast network that just has a bunch of what they call comedy and culture is sort of their tagline, or their full tagline is comedy and culture, artist-owned, listener-supported. And so that's kind of what they are. They kind of take an NPR model. They do a pledge drive every year that's for 2 weeks that and they're very donor-supported. They have, but yeah, similar to NPR, they are sponsorship-supported, but also donor-supported. And that is how they make their cash money for their many podcasts. And I realized I did actually some math to analyze through my podcast listenership of the podcast that I'm currently subscribed to and currently listen to. Well, I just went for subscribe to. Not all of them I listen to regularly. Not all of them I even listen to all that often. Cough, This American Life I never listen to, but whatever. And I went through and mathed to see, like, how many are indie podcasts versus how many are from what networks and which networks are rising up above, and found some interesting facts. So the majority of the podcasts that I listen, or the largest, the majority of the podcasts I listen to are from networks of some kind. I'm subscribed to about 100 and so podcasts. Again, I don't listen to all of them all the time, but whatever. I'm subscribed to about 100 or so, and of those, about a quarter are indie podcasts, and I was categorizing indie as they don't have a network, and I was categorizing network as a group with a name that puts out one or more, or puts out more than one podcast. So, even, like, I was counting super, 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 super indie networks like Solid Platinum Hit Machine, which I don't know if they're even going by that anymore, but it's basically the crew that puts out the podcast Bracket and Rolling. And those are the only podcasts they put out. So that I was counting as a podcast network versus Skybox, which is a podcast hosted by Dan McKenney, who's also a guy that hosts Rolling for Solid Platinum Hit Machine and is a co-host on the podcast Bracket, or not a co-host, but a very frequent guest on the podcast Bracket. I was counting Skybox as indie because it's not technically under that same label or whatever, and it's just being made by him. So yeah, indie means it's just made by a person or a team of people, and that's the only podcast that they make under whatever name that they choose to do it. So about a quarter of them were indie podcasts, and then there were three networks that stood out as having a lot of, they each had between 9 and 11 podcasts to them, and they were sort of the big heavy hitters, and those were the Nerdist Network. Unsurprising, because Nerdist was the podcast that got me kind of back into podcasting. Another one was a podcast network called Relay FM, which I only started listening to this summer, maybe a little bit before this summer. But they host a bunch of excellent podcasts, and they're very tech-focused. They do sort of tech chat shows. And I don't know why I'm out of breath. Oh, well, I didn't know why. It's because I'm talking way louder than I usually do, so I'm using more air, but I don't have good breath control, so we're going to take a nice little pause and reset so that I have control over breath, and all is happy making. They host a bunch of podcasts that are tech related, and they're tech related chat and interview shows, which of course is what I like. I like chat shows. Ooh, digression. That podcast class that I took We finally had to turn in our final project, and it turned out relatively well. Me and my friend, who's actually a friend from high school, a very good friend from high school, who we ended up being in the same class together and ended up working on a project together, which was really exciting. We did our piece that was on linguistics and technology and sort of a crash course in sociolinguistics type thing. And it was good and it was fine. And it, oh God, taking that podcast class 100% reconfirmed how much I do not like edited narrative storytelling based podcasts. I just, oh God, even the most interesting ones bore me to tears most of the time. It's just, I don't know. It's such a weird, bizarre thing that I have no, like there's a podcast that I listen to called Reconcilable Differences, and I love the podcast, and it is literally just two guys talking about whatever they want to for 2 hours long. It's like this if it was good and multiple people and long. And I love it. I eat up that podcast. I adore it. I thrive off that thing. And like 10 minutes of a Radiolab or a This American Life story or Love and Radio, just I zonk out unless it's like one of the best of the best, which is not necessarily true, unless it's one of the ones that like super hook me for whatever reason. It's an interesting thing with This American Life. I don't know if I mentioned it. I think I talked about this class and podcast stuff a few episodes back, but interesting with This American Life in particular is that I'm always very, very drawn to the ones that break the mold. I generally don't like the This American Life episodes that are, hey, we have two or three, or we have three or four acts, and each one's going to be a different story, and it might be a different type of story. Some might be sort of a produced field piece type story. Other ones might be in studio, I'm going to tell a story, and then we're going to have music underlaying it, and blah, blah. So it might be live pieces, et cetera, et cetera. And I don't love those kinds of This American Life episodes, but I do, not universally, but by and large, 100% of my favorite This American Life episodes are the exceptional ones in some way. So my favorite, my two favorites, period, overall, are one that was, and actually the only episodes that I've ever listened to multiple times, so that sort of shows you how much I'm a fan of them, is the one that's called 129 Cars. I know because I had to look it up recently, and it is about a car dealership in, I want to say, Michigan, somewhere Midwestern-y, and they, maybe, I could be completely wrong about that as well, and they have to sell 129 cars by the end of the month in order to make their bonuses, but the bonuses are things that, like, they need that bonus in order to survive as a company, basically, and so the entire hour-long episode is telling that story, and I love that. I love the ones where it's the whole hour is the story and things like that. The other one that I love, I have no idea what the name of it is, but it's a two-part episode that is about there's a school district in New York City, I think, and the conflicts that it was having between the Orthodox Jewish community and the rest of the community, which was primarily African-American. I've only listened to that once or twice, and it was a while ago last time I did, so I'm losing a lot of the details on it, but it's just a fascinating little, like, exploration of this weird drama thing that exists. And I don't know. Yeah, I love those off the wall, interesting, takes up the whole hour stories. I think, I don't know. I honestly cannot tell you why I do not like produced storytelling pieces that much. Like, it doesn't totally make sense. Some of it certainly makes sense in that, like, let's be real, 90% of This American Life stories are boring and uninteresting slice of life stuff that's like, there's no reason that needed to be on there. That being said, now, you could levy the exact same criticism about most of the stuff I listen to in that 90% of what I listen to is, like, I listen to hours upon hours every week of, like, just people talking about tech rumors and stuff like that, and then stuff that gets proven or disproven later, and like, that's bizarre and mind-numbing and odd to people as well. So Bach Calling Kettle Black, certainly, and like, No Tea, No Shade, No Pink Lemonade, all that fun jazzerinos. But I will say, yeah, and maybe admittedly that's part of the thing that I like about the chat shows versus the narrative shows, is that there's a different sort of level of assumption and level of pretension, is not exactly the right word, but kind of close to it, for what sorts of things they are trying to get at. So the chat show is sort of throwing off that, like, you know, this is just a fun chat between people or a silly little interview or whatever. And then we'll land on something profound, perhaps accidentally. But if not, it'll just be an entertaining conversation. Awesome. Whereas the storytelling ones are trying to say, like, this is a story that means something and is about something and blah, blah, blah. And then most of the time that falls flat. It's like, okay, sure, it's about whatever, but who gives a shit? Whereas you can say, who gives a shit to the conversation? And like, yeah, exactly. That's the point. It's just a chat. So setting the bar low and then surpassing it versus setting the bar high and then failing to meet it, I think might be a big part of it. But again, even that, I'm not 100% sure. I don't get why I don't like produced pieces. It just doesn't jazz for me. It doesn't jazz. It doesn't jive. Sorry, I was low for that. I don't know. But anyway, so I made the podcast with my, for my class. And okay, here's the thing that I got very, 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 very frustrated with. Although, because of traveling and stuff like that, I missed the window to write my course evaluation, which was, I honestly don't often write course evaluations because I don't care enough. But this was one that I was like, no, I can actually give valuable feedback, but I completely missed the window for it, because of traveling and because of internet issues and stuff like that. But one thing that really, 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 really desperately bugged me about the class, and I think this is almost all of the issues with the class stemmed from this overall idea that, or at least as far as I can pinpoint, that this is someone who is an expert, the teacher is someone who is an expert in their subject and would be a great mentor and would be a great, like, workshop leader or something like that, but is not a great teacher for a class environment, at least a class environment that jives with other class environments. A couple things that we got our evaluations back, and I got a perfectly good grade, it's fine, whatever. So I don't, this is not me being bitter about, like, getting a bad grade, because also I don't give a shit as long as I pass the class, whatever. Even if I failed the class, honestly, it wouldn't really matter for me that much, because I'm not applying to grad school, already have a job lined up, and, it's a class on podcasts. Nowhere that I go will care about what grade I got in that class. We got some notes back, and some of the notes were like, there were things that we were dinged off for that were not ever taught in the class. And it makes perfect sense that, like, so, and I feel of mixed ways, because you clearly, okay, let me retrace back what I'm, lovely noise. I got the sense in reading this that this was a professional person who knows what they're doing in this field, evaluating things in our product, final product. Evaluating things in the final product. Obviously not on an actual professional scale, because there's a whole lot of it that was shitty that you would, like, if you're genuinely grading on a professional scale, we would have failed miserably because it was not nearly at that quality level. But, like, not 100% grading on the scale of a beginner's intro class, but also, to his credit, not grading on a fully professional scale. So, whatever. And I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that this is the first time we ever taught the class, so teaching it 3 or 4 times will give a better sense of, here is the kind of level of work that can be expected from a beginner class like this. There's also something that I, with creative class and stuff like that, where the, in creative classes of this type, I tend to not love when it's graded on final product as opposed to being graded on usage of the process. Oh, okay. So here's a major league complaint that I have with the class overall, is that there was a, in comparison to other creative writing classes, especially that I've taken, is that in creative writing classes, there's this idea that, I was in a poetry class this quarter, and it's sort of been an implicit thing in every other class, but in this class, he actually made it very, very explicit, which was fun, because it was the first time going back to, I had taken beginning creative writing way, way back years ago, and had taken a bunch of intermediate and advanced creative writing classes, and now was going back to beginning poetry, which was terrifying and exciting in and of itself. But the teacher discussed and made explicit in the workshop that, hey, look, the goal is not to, you don't want to compare, like, you can compare poems, stuff like that, but, like, what you're trying to do is you need to figure out, what is this poem trying to do, and how, as a workshop, can we make this poem do what it is attempting to do as best as possible. We should not be judging it based on any other scale other than the scale for what's the best possible version of this thing and how to make it achieve what it wants to achieve. Whereas in this class, it was seen much more like there is a Platonic ideal of, it didn't seem like there was nearly as much of a focus on that. And it was more like, let's work towards a mold, and work towards a type of final product. In a way that rubbed me the wrong way, I think. And there was less of a sense of, hey, let's take each story on its own merit and see what is this story trying to accomplish and what is this piece trying to accomplish and figure out how to make this piece accomplish the thing that it is setting out for, rather than let's figure out how to make this piece accomplish the thing that I, as the teacher, see as what's good and let's move it towards that. But then again, that also comes from me not particularly liking the form that we were working in, so maybe that's just a... whatever. There was another point that I had, but I lost the thread. I lost the thread, guys. I don't know. I don't even know, y'all. Oh, okay. Here's one thing also that supremely annoyed me desperately. And actually, this was the one thing that I kind of made a point of complaining about in class a little bit. At the beginning of the class, the teacher said, hey, what we're going to do is we're going to come up with our own criteria for evaluation for the final product together as a class. And there was part of me that was like, okay, roll my eyes at that, but fine, whatever, that's okay. And then we just kept, and I forgot about that. And then week 9 of a 10-week quarter, when our thing is due at the end of finals week, which is week 11, more or less, then it's like, okay, guys, now we're here at the beginning of week 9. Let's figure out and set down what we want our evaluation criteria to be for the final product. And that made alarm bells go crazy in my head, because I'm thinking, this is nuts and bonkers, because we are at the point in the process where major changes can no longer be made. We have done all of our interviews weeks ago, and you've actually explicitly said, like, don't go out and get any more new tape. We have gone through multiple drafts of the script, so we have done stuff like that. And, like, now you're saying, hey, let's come up with an evaluation criteria that includes all of those things and is actually focused more on overall structure than it is on and there's also, like, bad prioritization of, like, do we focus more on the tiny technical things that we were never taught, or do we focus more on the big structural things that we can't change and can't fix anymore? And I sort of actually raised my hand in class, and made the point of, are we creating this criteria for the Platonic ideal of the story and for next quarter, or are we doing it for us? Because if we're doing it for us, like, there's an element of, what can you do? Where can you be? And then on the, on the last day of class, we listened to one of the team's entire story, and the teacher said, like, cool, let's go down the criteria and see if they met that. And that made me boil in my seat, but I didn't say anything for that, which was, I should have, but fine, whatever. I was boiling with rage at that moment of, like, this is so... because it's the last day of class, the stories are 20 minutes long, we have 20 minutes left of class, so, like, we're certainly not going to listen to anyone else's story, no one else is going to get this treatment, we are taking these people as guinea pigs, and it's not as if they volunteered as guinea pigs, it's not that we said, is someone okay with us listening to their story and grading it on the criteria, even that would be bad, I think, to single out a group like that and make the rest of us uncomfortably have to judge it in this way, but then also not giving them that choice and just saying, cool, let's do it, it was the kind of thing that, overall, I think this class, if it had been a workshop-type class, or if it had just been a, like, after-school workshop kind of thing, fine, whatever. These are kinds of things that are totally okay. Hey, let's listen to this person. We're not going to get to listen to everyone, so we'll listen to this and talk through it and see what works, see what doesn't work, see if it fits these criteria that are fit for air or whatever, and fine, whatever. But the fact that it was in a class setting, there's a level of responsibility and there's a level of, like, formality that goes into that has to, I think, be respected a little bit, especially considering how much money we're paying for going to this stupid school, there's an element of formality and there's a level of respect for the process of teaching and for the pedagogy of it all that I think needs to be respected more, and I think hopefully will be as this person continues to teach more and more and more and gets more familiar with teaching in a class school setting as opposed to teaching ad hoc in a more of a mentorship setting, but whatever, we're done with that class. But So we did that. Going back to Maximum Fun. Maximum Fun is the network, is another network, one of those 10 networks, 10, around 10 podcasts that I listen to networks, along with Relay FM, along with Nerdist. And they have a lot of my very favorite ones, especially a lot of the McElroy brothers shows are Maximum Fun, because My Brother and Me is sort of one of the flagship shows that came onto the network, when the network was starting out. And My Brother and Me, as I've mentioned before, is probably my favorite podcast. Certainly top five, if not number one, and probably number one. I adore it. But a lot of the other various McElroy brothers shows are on there, as well as McElroy sister-in-laws and stuff like that. And it's great. But there's also other wonderful shows on it. So I listened to about 10 shows on that network. And this was the year that I decided to finally, after years of listening to Maximum Fun shows, although I got really, really into My Brother, Me, and Jordan, Jesse Go about 2 years ago, so really only 2 years of, like, super deep diving into Maximum Fun shows. But after years of listening, I decided to finally start donating some cash money to the support, the stuff that I like. And that makes me feel good. I like that I did that. I like that that's a thing that I did. That was the whole point of all of that thing, was to say that I did it. Oh, and also to say that you should do it, too, if you listen to Maximum Fun shows. If you don't, whatever. And if you don't listen to Maximum Fun shows, you should. My Brother and Me is great. The Adventure Zone is a Dungeons & Dragons podcast that has been going for 2-ish years, so sorry, sucks to suck to have to go back and listen to it. Although, their most recent episode that they did was called The Adventure Zone, which is where they spent 2 hours answering questions and talking about the process of making this Dungeons & Dragons podcast, and that was fascinating and wonderful and eye-opening and makes me want to do a Dungeons & Dragons podcast. Because I like doing podcasts, and of course I want to do it. Also, I just want to play Dungeons & Dragons more, which I think I might start doing. There is a game society at the school that I go to that I've been on the mailing list for since the first week of freshman year, and have never gone to or participated in any of their events. So I'm thinking maybe spring quarter I might actually, like, join up and do some stuff and play, and that'll be fun. But I was also, as they were talking about dungeon mastering and stuff like that, that got me thinking, like, ooh, There's a friend of mine who is very good at coming up with sort of creative stuff, like world building and all of that sorts of stuff, and good at storytelling, but doesn't think he's good at writing, and I should make him DM for a game at some point, because I think he'd be very good at it. So, ideas and thoughts bustling in the brain. Unrelated, but our Apple Music trial for our family has ended, and that caused the painful process. So when the Apple Music ended, all the songs that I had downloaded to my phone survived and stayed there, which was exciting for a moment. But then there were some issues of, like, songs that are totally mine, that are ones from CD rips that I had put onto my music library in years past, refused to be, like, my phone was telling me that, no, those are totally Apple Music ones, so you're not allowed to download them back to your phone anymore, and because it's Apple Music and it has to use the iCloud library, I can't sync via computer anymore, blah, blah, blah. So I nuked Apple Music, got rid of all of it, and that meant I lost my, like, 10 gigabytes or so of downloaded music that was on my phone, so poor one out, sad times. But now my actual music library functions well and happily, and I'm okay. And you know what? I'm going to miss Apple Music. I liked it a lot, but the fact that it interplays with my iTunes and royally fucked up my iTunes for the, like, couple weeks before I started, or when I first started using the trial 3 months ago, and it fucked it up for a week after the trial ended, and also there were some songs that, like, continued to be fucked up throughout the entirety of it, and I thought Apple Music, once it got working, worked out totally fine, but I will say the one thing that makes me want to do a Spotify or something like that is just that it is separate from my living iTunes music library. The fact that it's a sandbox that it can play in its own thing and do its own thing is fantastic and wonderful, because it means it's not going to royally fuck up all of my stuff that I've cultivated and collected over the years. So that is that. I think the reason that I thought about that is because my phone's upstairs, so I can't play any end song, but that's okay, because the end song thing, it's fun, it's whatever, but, I mean, the fact that I'm playing it off of my phone speaker into this microphone is, like, So that's the life. That's the life. Podcasts. Listen to Maximum Fun shows, especially my brother and me. And if you do already, then you've heard people telling you to donate for the last 2 weeks anyway. So you don't need me to say it again, but do it. And everything is podcasts. Yep, that's my new sign-off forever. Everything is podcasts. No, that's not true. That's not going to be my new sign-off ever. I'm not going to have a sign-off for this show because fuck y'all. That's why. That's my sign-off. That's my sign-off. Now my new sign-off is I love my grandkids. Watch Rick and Morty.